Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
A wilderness land is seemingly that God's had me in the wilderness for a long time. And especially throughout this year, going to God in prayer and fasting, earnest prayer, and seemingly there's just no river. Now I've searched my heart and I've begged God to show me and reveal and repent of everything I know to repent of, and still the voice in heaven was just persevere. And that's not what you want to hear when you're used to sipping from the river. But God's doing an amazing work. He's doing a wonderful work. It's from His goodness. He's pouring out on you. And you're trying to figure it out. But it's from the wilderness. God teaches an amazing things. How many of you here would say, "Preacher, I want to be led of the Spirit of God"? Anybody like that?
Amen.
I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4, Jesus comes out of the baptismal pools of the Jordan River. And He is led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Preacher, how did I get in this dry place? How did I get in this barren landscape? It's hot and dusty. I'm parched. I don't like what I'm doing. If you've led the Spirit, He just as well could have just led you right in there. Led of the Spirit in this place. It's amazing what comes out of the wilderness. David, he has come out to the battle scene, the battlefield. There's Goliath, then they're mocking God and all the armies of Israel. David has this boldness about him and godliness about him. He's got wisdom about him. He's already slain a lion and a bear. And his brethren saying, they say to him, "What are you doing down here? Have you left the only sheep we had in the wilderness?" David has just come from the wilderness, tending those sheep and watching those sheep. And now he's got such anointing and such power that he's able to trust God and walk down in the valley of Elah, pick up those five smooth stones and slay a giant, give God a great victory on that day. Amen. Coming from the wilderness. John the Baptist was another great man of God, a forerunner that went before Christ and preaching, proclaiming that to repentance and baptizing in the River Jordan. What an amazing man of God. Jesus spoke about him and said there wasn't anybody else like him, nor ever will be. Special man. Jesus comes to the baptismal bank of the Jordan River. John the Baptist, at this point, has never talked to Jesus. He's never met him. Only by bumping up next to him inside the wombs. Probably done a somersault, I don't know. But nonetheless, he's been in the wilderness. While he's in this wilderness, he sees the Lord coming. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's mind-boggling to me.
Amen.
The only one that can reveal that truth to man is God. And God revealed that to John in the wilderness. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, we don't desire the wilderness. Nobody stands in line and says, I'll take a wilderness experience. But knowing the outcome, it is based on that. The outcome. Jesus comes back out of that wilderness experience full of the Holy Ghost. His name is famed and abroad, carried abroad on all the land. The Bible goes on and says in the same chapter, specifically a storm. What does the Bible say? It says this. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He," God that is, "commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wits' end." They're at their wits' end. God raises up the winds. God raises up the waves. This is absolutely mind-boggling to me. The disciples are in a boat. They are going out across the Sea of Galilee. It's in Matthew chapter 8. And as the winds and waves begin to beat the boat, Jesus is asleep in the back on a pillow. The Bible tells us also in Mark chapter, I believe it's 4. And as the boat fills with water, the disciples become afraid and they're fearful. And they say, go back and wake the master. Wake him up. And so they go back and they wake up Jesus. And he says to them, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you fear? But he speaks to the wind and waves and says, peace, be still. The winds and waves lay down. The disciples then look one to another and make this statement. What manner of man is this that the winds and seas obey his voice? Oftentimes, during the storm, we don't comprehend all that God is doing. It's after the storm that truth comes. They have this truth now that God speaks and the winds do exactly what he says to do. According to Psalm 107, it's God that raises up the stormy winds. And it causes the waves to begin to move and go. So if it's Jesus that spoke to the winds and they obeyed his voice to lay down, who do you think spoke to them to get them to blow in the first place? Right. It's an amazing thing to ponder. And it's a great truth to know that God has power to calm the storm at any moment. It's a wonderful truth to understand he's in control of the storm. He's back there asleep on a pillow. Now, it's not a fluffy thing on your bed that you put your head on at night. You can look it up in your Roman and in your Noah's Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word pillow, and you'll come to find that it's a wooden box. It's a nautical term. And in this wooden box is a long beam called a bowsprit. And out on the outer side, it runs the entirety of the vessel, comes out this bowsprit. There's tackling on this beam that runs back to the mainsail and keeps the mainsail going in a forward direction. So it's not up or just flipping around going every which way. Jesus is sleeping on a pillow. He's sleeping on what keeps it moving in the right direction. Amen. Jesus is in control of the storm. It's going the way he wants it to go. Now that's a great truth to ponder on. But even it's much profound to know that yes, thank God he can calm it. Yes, thank God he's in control of it. But it is absolutely profound to know that he created it. Amen. Created the storm. Yes. There is an outcome that he's interested in. There is something going on that he is so interested in producing inside of you and I this morning. For the Bible tells us that we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Predestination has all to do with our destiny. It's not pre-selection, it's predestination. Our destiny has been secure, set aside in God, in Christ. That God has a purpose for us and a plan for us. And that is we're being molded and shaped and made in the image of Jesus Christ. There's never been, when somebody's been born again by the grace of God, God has placed them on a path. God has set them on course to be shaped and molded. And he uses smiths to give truth and help along the way to perfect that body. At the end result is you being conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Now Peter in Matthew 14, 6 chapters later, he's literally going on the very same nautical chart. It's amazing. It's literally the same path. Have you ever just said to yourself, Lord, not this lesson again. I don't want to learn this again. I've already learned it once and please don't teach to me again. Here they go on this same path, this same way, this same trail. And as they get in the boat this time, Jesus is on a mountain praying. The disciples are in the ship. But each of these men in this vessel have a truth tucked inside their belt. And it is a wonderful truth. It is that Jesus commands the winds and waves. They obey his voice. Now as they're out there, they begin to roll It's kind of, the wind's contrary to them. There's a storm. Jesus comes walking on the water. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to thee upon the water." And the Lord says, "Come." The word is given from God. Peter acts upon that word by faith. Acts upon the light he'd been given. And comes out of the boat and walks upon the water. When he's walking on the water, he sees the wind boisterous. And he becomes afraid. What does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that he begins to sink. While he's sinking, while he's going down, while he's in that spot, his hands go up and there's a cry from his heart that says, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately responded and pulled Peter back out of the water. It's an amazing act. It's an amazing, amazing thing that took place here. When Peter saw the waves, let me say this first. If we know now that Jesus commands the winds and waves, Peter sees the wind and it's boisterous and it's loud and it's causing the waves to go up. He becomes fearful and begins to sink. We see God actively maneuvering Peter to a specific spot. And that spot is very simply this: "Lord, yes, save me." Have you ever been in a spot where you just say, "Preacher, I'm sinking. I'm going under. I'm sinking, Lord. What's wrong with me? Why I feel this way? I'm going down, Lord." It's almost like there's an automatic button on the inside of a born-again believer. And when you get in that shape, "Lord, save me." What's amazing is this. Jesus comes over to Peter. The fear is gone. He's able to stand back up. His faith is restored. They walk back to the boat, and then the wind ceased. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes He'll calm you in the storm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Peter, his faith is restored. His focus is realigned with Christ. He just walks back to the boat.
Amen.
Wind's still blowing. That's what produced the fear, is the wind. It's still whipping and blowing. He's just walking on back to the boat. What a wonderful truth to know that God is actively producing something in and through us every moment of our life. Nobody stands in the cancer line and says, "Man, can I get some of that?" Nobody does that. There are folks that God puts in a storm for a greater purpose. Acts 27, the Apostle Paul, he's in a storm of his life. They're called Euryclidon. The ship is destroyed. Everybody swims to shore. Paul has already got a word from God. This truth is already echoed in the corridors of his heart way on back when. And he's on the shoreline. They just come through a life-threatening, dangerous storm. The ship's busted in pieces. Everybody else is standing around. They're scared. They're shaking. They're afraid. We almost died. And there's the apostle. He's getting sticks and building a fire. Now what's amazing is God has some barbarians on this island. And they're sitting around. And they're watching. They're watching everybody else's reaction. Afraid and shaking and cold and wet. And they're seeing this one lone man that is actively getting wood, seemingly unaffected by the storm. Not even shooken up by it. Just marching on through and building a fire. And that so greatly affects these barbaric men that they think, is this man a god? What kind of a man is this fellow? A viper fastened his hand, fastened himself to the hand of Paul. He just shakes it off in the fire and keeps on going. It's amazing how God can use a difficult situation, a tough circumstance, a difficulty, a sickness, all these things to produce a greater outcome in you and then for the glory of God. But He's always got a barbarian watching. He's always got somebody watching how you handle your storm.
When we look at the man of Job, we say, well, the devil had great impact on Job. And the devil just destroyed his life. But if we go all the way back, the devil had no idea what he was even doing. He's just walking around, going to and fro. And God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? All of Job's sufferings, all of Job's afflictions, all of Job's heartaches, in essence, started with God by permitting the enemy to enter his life.
Yes.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.